announcements, and so you can see some of these are on the back of your bulletin. Are there other announcements that you'd like to add? We are celebrating November. We'll start over here on this side, Karen. Really appreciate everyone showing up. It really does our hearts wonder to have so many hands willing to help out. So thank you for turning out yesterday.
And one more thing. I made a book on my own of the old bylaws with the new bylaws, with how we got to the new bylaws, with all the corrections we did, and with the final bylaws with amendment. It's gone. Anybody that has it, please bring it back. If you don't, you want to see a copy, I'll email it. I'm not making another copy of all that, but I'll be glad to send it to anybody. Thank you.
And Danny. Thank you so much. Yes.
Next Sunday, I'm going to have a Lady Day meeting after church. We have a lot of things to discuss because Christmas is coming up. Plus, you little bakers in here, not the family, but women.
Thank you. Meeting next week.
I noticed that it's in here about the shoe boxes. Today's the last day to give me the money and the slip so I can get it to Weller. Any of you that want to do shoe boxes on your own, that's perfectly fine. And if you want, I have some of the fold-up Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes. You just have to let me know. Okay, just let me know because ones I'm going to take up there so that they can use them because they do a tremendous amount of shoeboxes. So just see me within the next week or so because when I take the shoeboxes, they'll be gone. So if you want to do your own and you want the real shoebox, I'll hold them back for you. Okay?
Thank you. Any other announcements?
Yes.
Derek.
While the months are flying by, we're already in November and talking about Christmas. In your directory, it has in there about our programs, and I know Wanda will probably bring this up later as well. But the social and programs says first Sunday and candlelight third Sunday. With the calendar falling with the first Sunday right after Thanksgiving, we're moving the social to the second Sunday this year and the candlelight on the 22nd. So So it'll be the 8th and 22nd for the Christmas programs this year. So social on the 8th, candlelight on the 22nd. And, of course, social is always 5 o'clock dinner, 6:30 program, and then candlelight is at 6:30 on the 22nd.
Thank you, Jerry. Without any further announcements, let us begin our worship. Praise the Lord. The call to worship comes from Psalms 34. I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let us do that as we stand and share together our hymn number 2. Pray with me, please. Father God, it is with joy in our hearts that we come into your house this day to praise you, to worship you, and to give you thanks, Lord. And we ask your Holy Spirit indeed would come and move in our presence and have your way. Teach us your will, and we ask that you might bless this worship hour. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Mr. Tracy, before we have birthdays.
Okay.
It's birthday season.
All right. That's a good reminder there. I think there. I did see something, a treat wise, in the back there. So who has a birthday or anniversary in November? What? Okay, Linda? Others? Okay. Did I see a hand back there, Doris? Okay. Congratulations. All right.
There's a little one.
All right. Another one here. There we go. Wonderful. Well, let's share together that birthday song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And don't forget to pick up a treat on your way out today.
There's little Debbie's.
Thank you, Deb. Well, we also have another joy as well, and we have a fellow that would like to join us as a member of the congregation. Jeff Smith's been attending for quite some time, and lives nearby, and it is with grateful hearts that we want to receive him as a member of our church. And so Jeff comes to us from the Elias Lutheran Church in Emmitsburg, and would like to move his membership here. So I'm going to ask Jeff to come forward. It's always a blessing to receive new members into our congregation, and Jeff, we appreciate the opportunity that you have expressed your interest to be a part of our fellowship here in a formal way. And so let me just share these couple words. Friends in Christ, you have previously made a confession of faith and have been members of his church, and so we rejoice in your decision to come here to Democracy to be part of what's happening with God's church here. And so let me just ask you, Jeff, having been baptized as an infant now, do you reaffirm your faith in loyalty in Jesus Christ and, as Lord, and do you receive his gospel?
I do.
And are you willing to unite with us in worship and serve and to share in our programs, to support it by your prayers, your regular attendance, your faithful service and stewardship as God gives you strength?
With God's help, I will.
And do you promise to live and share with us the bonds of Christian fellowship, receiving and giving Christian love and sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain?
I do.
Okay. And now, as you, as a congregation of the Democracy Church of the Brother in Rocky Ridge, will you receive Jeff as a member of this congregation? If so, will you answer, I do?
I do.
Let's pray. Father God, we just give you thanks and praise for what you're doing in Jeff's life, and we thank you for his faith, Lord, and his desire to continue to serve you and to witness for you. And so, Lord, we just ask you to give him a special blessing. We pray that you keep a hedge of protection around him and his family and meet their needs. And we ask, Lord, that together all of us would be able to continue to rejoice with what you're doing here on the Ridge. So, God, have your way and your will in our lives and in the life of this congregation. And we give you praise today for just joining with us. And in your name that we pray, amen.
Amen.
Let's give you the right hand of fellowship. And
thank you.
That will be good as well.
Thank you.
God bless you. We have been receiving our offerings in the box there in the back, and if you've been taking advantage of that, we just want to take a moment to give God thanks for the gifts that he has given to us. And so the call to giving comes from Psalms 96. It is you alone who are to be feared. Who can stand before you when you are angry? From the heaven you pronounced judgment, and the land feared and was quiet, when you, God, rose up to judge to save all the afflicted of the land. Let us pray. God, we give grace, give you joy, and we just praise your name, Lord, this day for all your many blessings to us. The weather, Lord, has just been so beautiful this fall. And though it's dry, we rejoice in the bounty of the harvest and the wonderful temperatures, the beauty of the colors of autumn. And Lord, we're grateful for all that you've given to us, for health, for strength, for blessings, for work, for family, friends. And Lord, we just want to be mindful of the gifts that you've given to us. And You've asked us to give back a portion of that which you have given, and so, Lord, we do so cheerfully and gratefully, and we're asking your blessing upon it. Multiply, use it, Lord. Use our new fellowship hall in ways that would serve your purposes. And we give you the thanks and the praise, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Sharing of joys and concerns. Lots of joys in our hearts today. Are there others that we'd like to add to the list? Concerns?
I'd like to have Ronnie on prayer this Thursday. He's getting the test that she chose.
Ronnie on Thursday? Okay. Pray for good results. Yes. And Wanda in the back?
I'm going to put my friend Ruth Conway on the prayer list. She found out this week that she has a blockage in her heart, and it's 100%. So that means open heart surgery. So please keep her in her prayers.
Okay. And Lottie?
Prayers for my brother Tom.
Tom? Danny.
Peter's family. Dick's ex that he was yesterday for dehydration. He's feeling better, but he's going to make his prayers. Healing for Carol's hands. Yes. Doris. I also have a friend from high school whose son took his own life this week.
Okay. Suicide never easy. Yes.
The upcoming election, we need prayers for, and Travis and the big family.
Yes.
Peace for in the Middle East and around the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Prayers for Pat on Friday.
And all others that are having medical issues. She said peace for the whole country.
Thank you.
I want to keep the Wetzel family from Thurmont in the passing of my classmate died suddenly of a massive heart attack.
Okay.
And unspoken request.
My aunt's heart surgery has been postponed, so we're not sure about that, but continue to appreciate your prayers for my Aunt Louise.
I think Sarah also, her family, went through some medical problems. I think they need to be in our
prayers. Okay.
Thank you,
Faye. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as the hymn writer puts it, Mighty God, while angels bless thee, may a mortal sing thy name. Lord of men as well as angels, thou art every creature's theme. Lord of every land and nation, ancient of eternal days, sounded through the wide creation, be thy just and endless praise. For the grandeur of thy nature, grand beyond our highest thoughts, for the wonders of creation, works with skill and kindness wrought. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, we praise your name this morning. We give you thanks for all that you have done. We thank you for who you are, as our brother reminded us during Sunday school today, that you're an all-knowing God. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you have moved in the past, have answered prayer. Thank you for our congregation and the way that we pull together. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in situations that are testing with the upcoming elections, Lord. We pray for peace, transition. We pray for good results. We pray, Father, for doctors and nurses that are secure for us as tests are run and results are given. We pray for your wisdom and direction and guiding and leading us to do the right thing. So we ask for health and wholeness for our bodies, for our families, for our loved ones. We pray, Father, that you would continue to keep a hedge protection, meet the needs of all the families represented here in this congregation, be with the Bakers and the Peters and the Frees and everyone, Lord. We desire to do your will. So help us to do that, Lord. Thank you for new members. Thank you for old members. Thank you for loved ones who have passed on. For unspoken requests, Lord, we lay them before your throne of grace today. We pray for comfort for those who have lost loved ones. And we ask that you would move in our world. We see nightly, Lord, the tremendous images of destruction because of the result of war and natural disasters. Help those, Lord, in need. Pray that you would provide for the basic needs. We pray for peace and security. We pray for hope, for futures of children and loved ones. And we ask, Lord, you would just continue to move mightily in our work here on the ridge to pull together as a congregation to move forward, to be a light in the darkness, that others might see what is going on and want to be a part of that. We might share the name of Jesus with those that are at hand and those that are at far. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, but we're most grateful for the salvation that you've won for us, your death on the cross. And by faith in you, Lord, we give you thanks for eternal blessings and a tremendous home to look forward to. Lord, we pray that you would help others to be a part of that as well. And so teach us as disciples of Jesus Christ how to live and how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom, come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we'll share together hymn number 387.
Thank you.
may be seated. Our scripture for today is Psalms 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I guess it was one of those serendipity moments, and the Spirit's leading for sure. I hadn't planned on taking the time to sit down and read just then. In fact, the book had been lying on the living room table on my to-read stack of books for quite some time. Years before, I had met the writer and heard the preacher preach to a group of preachers here in our district, and I was quite impressed. So when I had a chance to get a copy of one of his books on preaching, I took it. Then it sat on my shelf for a few years. I was busy with preaching. And I figured I'd get around to reading it one day. So then last winter, I picked out a few books. I want to kind of read, make sure I get these read. And so I brought them up to the living room, and they'd be closer at hand, and wanted to fulfill New Year's resolution to read more. And I could add their titles to my reading list for my ordination review, too. Plus, I have to try to keep up with Pat. She's almost at 60 books this year that she has read. Not going to make that number. So I walked into the living room, and I was straightening things up. That's what we say in Pennsylvania, straighten up. We straightened up some things, and I noticed the book. And I picked it up to move it aside, and then I paused to glance at it. And so I turned to the last chapter and started reading a little bit, and I thought, this is kind of intriguing. I think I'll read a paragraph or two. And so then I put aside what I was going to do, and I sat down and read the whole chapter, the whole last chapter. And it was, I think, a little bit of a serendipity moment. This was the seed for today's sermon. Well, you might want to know that one of the quirks that I have is that when I get a publication or a magazine or something, I usually turn to the back first. And then I'll look through the pictures. And then I'll turn to the table of contents before I start reading it. Maybe it's a nod to our Jewish brothers and sisters who read from right to left, but probably it's just one of those quirky things that I do. I usually always start at the back and kind of leaf through it. Well, now you know something about your pastor. Have one of those, some of those quirks. If you want to know others, just ask my wife. She'll be able to tell you. Well, it was a few days later. I thought, well, I got to get started on my sermon for November 3rd and start on my preparation for today's message. I like to research the lectionary scriptures for that particular Sunday and see what is on the list. I like to look to see, well, have I ever preached on that sermon, that scripture before, and to see where the Lord leads me then. So the lectionary for today, the lectionary is designed to take Christians through a three-year cycle. This is year B. And so over a course of 3 years, you cover a large majority portion of the scriptures. And it kind of helps you keep from preaching your pet peeves and also ties in with the church calendar as well. And so that might be one of my other quirks. And so I look over the list. Have I preached on this before? Well, then I go back and I keep a list of the sermons that I've preached in the scriptures, and I look over to see if I've done that scripture before. I don't think I've ever preached specifically on Psalms 117. So then it happened. I remembered this. And as I looked at the scripture, it was a doxology. And the chapter that I read was a sermon in the form of a doxology. And I thought, yeah, that's the one. That's the one I need to do. I've never preached on it before, and it kind of fits with what I was thinking. Psalms 117 is a short doxological prayer, and it is the seed for today's message. I thought about I could just read you his sermon, and I thought, no, can't do that. I could give credit, so it wouldn't be plagiarism, but no, that wouldn't be right. And his is on Romans and not on Psalms 17. And so I thought, too, you know, his style is a little more inductive, and so it's kind of unique, inductive style of preaching, whereas mine is more expository, and so it's kind of hard to teach an old dog new tricks, so I thought I'd better stick to expository preaching. Before I share a little bit about Psalms 117, I do want to share one quote. Fred Craddock is a preacher among preachers, nationally known, very gifted, and I heard him preach one time. We had a pastor's gathering for the Mid-Atlantic District, and the D.E., Don Booz, at that time, knew him and got him to come. And so here we are, gathering in the sanctuary setting full of preachers, and this little old man comes shuffling up the aisle, and I'm thinking, oh no, this is going to be a waste of time. He's going to drone on, and I'm not going to learn anything. You know, as he got to the pulpit, he kind of leaned on the pulpit like this and kind of greeted us and began to share. And as he shared, tied into scriptures, and it was such a wonderful presentation. He had us on our edge of our seats. He had us laughing. He had us crying. And it was just a wonderful thing. And I thought, wow, praise the Lord. What a wonderful messenger of God. And he says in this book, he says that we should make, when our preaching, we should make the form and the spirit of the message congenial with the form and the spirit of the text. Let doxologies be shared doxological. Narratives, narratively. Palmatics, palmatically. Poems, poetically. And parables, paradoxically. In other words, biblical preaching ought to be biblical. Biblical preaching ought to be biblical. I like that. And I think one of the problems with today is that we have so many preachers that they say a lot. They got the charisma. There's kind of hold the congregation spellbound, but it's a lot of milk and not much meat. And I think that we probably need some meat to chew on from time to time. And so hopefully you'll take thought of this psalm as a wonderful way of thinking and dwelling on it, chewing on it the rest of this week. Psalms 117. It is said that there is no greater or grander song of expression of praise. Martin Luther, in fact, dedicated 36 pages to this psalm. Now, mind you, this psalm is two verses. And he wrote 36 pages on just this psalm. And so it's a wonderful message, wonderful praise to God. It is, in a sense, a gospel in a very short text. It's a gospel because it's for Jews and Gentiles. It has the essence of all that we really need to know. Psalms 117 reminds us to praise the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I probably could do a little bit more than that. You know, I know some people who are very joyful, and they're always going around, praise the Lord, you know. Sometimes it seems a little bit overkill, but maybe in our conversations and dialogue with one another, we could throw in a praise the Lord a little bit more occasionally. This is the doxology. It is a short prayer of praise. And I find it very interesting as I got into studying this. I thought a little bit about, well, you know, there's only two verses here. Can I make a whole sermon out of that? If Martin Luther could write 36 pages, I think we could probably at least get a short sermon out of it. Brothers and sisters, one thing that you might want to note in your Bible is that this is the central part of the Scriptures. Now, all of our Bibles has maps and extra helps and stuff, but if you went to the very center of the Bible, you would come to Psalms 117. It is the central part, it is the middle of our Bibles, and it is the shortest chapter of the Bible. And so those are three things to remember. Middle, central, short. Some subtitles for this is the praise of all the nations, or let all peoples praise the Lord. And so this is a psalm that is short and sweet. Short and sweet. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Can you imagine when we get to the throne room? When we're there before God, worshiping and praising him as we see in Revelation, there'll be a sea of people. People who have believed all down through the centuries. People of every walk of life, people from every country, every tongue, every nation, all crying out praise before him. Won't that be an awesome thing to join in that worship? I remember when I was on my trip to Israel in 2012, we were in the northern part of the country and visiting a site that was one of the oldest sites in Israel. And there was a little area nearby, kind of like just a little park area with some pews or something, open to the sky. And there was a group that was gathering there. It looked like some young people from Korea. I'm not exactly sure which country they were from. But they were talking, and of course I didn't understand their language. And they gathered together maybe a dozen to two dozen. And they started worshiping God. Well, you could not overlook their worship. These young people, probably just in their early 20s, worshiping, praising God, lifting up their hands, yelling the top of their lungs, praises to God. That caught my attention. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. You know, there are currently 8.2 billion people in our world. That number keeps increasing. If you go on the computer and look, you'll see it's kind of just kind of spinning higher and higher and higher. There are actually more births than there are deaths each day. And so there are currently going on 8.2 billion people. Of that, about one-third are Christians. 2.38 billion people are said to be Christians. And I got to think, all ye nations? Well, how many countries are there? How many nations are there? The UN recognizes 195, almost 200 nations. 193 are UN nations plus two non-member observer nations, which is the Holy See and the state of Palestine. Incidentally, the Holy See consists of about 50 people. That makes them a country. Probably the smallest country there is. Taiwan is considered a part of China, and there are also the Cook Islands are not mentioned or included. So about 200 nations. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. 54 nations from Africa, 48 nations from Asia, 44 nations from Europe, 33 nations from Latin America and Caribbean, 14 nations from Oceania, and 2 from North America. Praise the Lord. What that glorious praise will be heard and like when we're together in heaven, before the throne of God. An amazing thing. Well, we're to praise God, in song. Psalms 9:11 says, "Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." And so we can praise God in song. We can praise God with musical instruments. Praise the Lord, Psalms 33:2 says, with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. So we're to sing and to praise God with musical instruments. And it should be universal. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. His praise should be perpetual. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. The fruit of our lips is to praise God, and to do that sacrifice, continually. And then we are to praise for 4 reasons. 1 Peter tells us that we should praise God because we're a chosen nation, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. You know, that's one of the titles that their brethren used to pride themselves on, being a peculiar people, people who were a little different in dress, people who were a little different from society, people who followed God's word literally. And we're to do that, we're to show forth the praises to him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, the second verse of this psalm says that we're to, for his merciful kindness. We're to praise God because of his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. You know, mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. And so we're to praise God for his mercy. To praise him for his merciful kindness. A kindness is being sympathetic, helpful, friendly, thoughtful or gentle, well-disposed, pleasant, or beneficial action of some kind. To render someone a small service is an act of kindness. I sometimes see when I'm driving around, someone has painted those little signs and put up on a telephone pole, "Be kind." Have you seen those? A reminder for us to be kind. We probably need that more now than ever. But his loving kindness, his merciful kindness. Psalm 63 says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Think about God's loving kindness in your life. Don't you just want to praise him? It says that his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the word great here is very interesting. Henry Morris says that this word is the same as prevailed, the word that we get when we think about the account of the waters, the great flood, prevailing over the whole earth. And so his merciful kindness prevails toward us. His merciful kindness prevails over us. It is great. Not his anger, but his love. His loving kindness prevailed over us. When sin would have kept us further from him, and kept us forever from him, it was his merciful loving kindness that brought us near through the plan of Jesus Christ. The truth of the Lord endures forever. We should praise him because of his truth. Moses did. Moses said, "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are a judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." We should praise him for his truth. Seems like we're on short supply of truth these days. We hear a lot of sound bites and accusations. But the truth of the Lord doesn't change. Charles Stanley says, "God's truth does not change from year to year or decade to decade or century to century. It does not vary depending on current style or alter based on popular opinion. In a world of change, his truth remains constant. I like that. Something that we can depend on, right? In a country where there is change, much change, we change presidents every 4 to 8 hours, 8 years. Every 4 and 8 hours, 8 years, seems like constantly changing. God's truth reigns. His truth is permanent. We may not like it sometimes. It may not square with our current society. But his truth doesn't change. It endureth forever. And so here in this very central chapter of the Bible, in the very middle of our great book, we call it God's Word, in the middle of that, it emphasizes that God's truth is eternal. It's something that we can depend upon. And so I think God must have had an awful good reason to put this psalm right in the middle. He's an all-knowing God, and he knew what to put where in his word. And so there's probably a lot of good truth that we could figure out about this short, sweet doxology. Right smack dack in the middle. You know, this psalm was one that Jesus sang. And so wouldn't you like to sing a song that Jesus sang? This is a collection of psalms that they sing during Passover. And so Jesus would have sung this psalm. Psalms 117. Think about the words of that psalm. They were in his head as he was preparing to go to the cross. All peoples. He was going to give all nations, all peoples, a chance to praise the Lord. A doxology is a short formula of praise to God, especially that which is Triterion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Greek word for doxology is doxa, which is giving glory, and logos, which is the word, giving glory to God, a doxology. And so, as I was thinking about this, as we consider who God is, and Dr. David Jeremiah helped us with that this morning, an all-knowing God. When you consider who God is, and when you consider what he's done, and when you consider how he's done it, and why he's done it, can we not praise him? Can we really not praise him? Whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whenever it is, however we are, can't we praise him? Praise the Lord. It's so easy, right? It's so short and sweet. Praise the Lord. Giving God the credit, the glory that's due his name. And so our praise can be in song or in word. Our praise can be in art, music, or poetry. It can be in our work. It can be long or short. It can be at night or during the day. At the supermarket, at the sports game, or in the silence of the night, we can simply say, praise the Lord. Praise you, God. How easy that is. How simple. Just to say, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great. It prevails toward us. And the truth of the Lord never changes, endureth forever. One of the hymn writers puts it this way, Isaac Watts. From all that dwelleth below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. Let the Redeemer's name be sung through every land by every tongue. In every land began the song, to every land the strains belong. In cheerful sounds all voices raise and fill the world with loudest praise. Your lofty themes your mortals bring, in songs of praise divinely sing, the great salvation loud proclaim, and shout for joy the Savior's name. Eternal are thy mercies, Lord, eternal truths attend thy word. Thy praise shall sound from shore to shore, till suns shall rise and set no more. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, not just Jews, not just Gentiles, but all of God's people. Praise the Lord, all ye nations, 200 nations. Praise the Lord, all ye people, those that speak English, those that speak Spanish, those that speak all kinds of tongues. Why should we praise him? For his merciful kindness. His loving kindness toward us is great, and it prevailed over sin, over Satan, over death. His love prevails. His kindness toward us is new every morning. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. I wonder if we could say that together. Praise ye the Lord. How about again? Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you this day. You are worthy of our praise. At all times, because of your loving kindness, because of your mercy, they are great toward us. May we be known as a people who are joyful, a people who are full of praise, a people who can say, praise ye the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. We want to close our service with hymn number 22. Please join me in standing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.